And welcome back to GW at 6. I'm Robert O'Shaughnessy, and joining us in the studio, we have Dr. Peter Konworski. Can you hear me loud and clear, Dr. Konworski?
I can. It's good to talk with you.
Awesome. Welcome. So last Tuesday, you the university sent out a newsletter to everyone about your stepping down as Dean of Student Affairs at the end of this calendar year and staying on as a special advisor to President LeBlanc and Provost Maltzman. So until the academic year. So can you confirm that for us, that's the timing?
I can confirm that. And it was a bittersweet decision. But, you know, well, first of all, I'm honored to be on with you. But
thank you.
It was just, it seemed like an opportune time to, you know, look for some different opportunities after a 25-year career I've had at GW.
So just going off of that, so what prompted you to step down at this time exactly?
I think a series of things. You know, for me, after being here 25 years, and actually I've been at GW 30, many of you know I was a student here, and then I've worked in a number of administrative roles. You know, I never thought I would be at GW this whole time. In fact, I've lived at, you know, GW in Washington, D.C. for longer than anything I've lived in my whole life. Prior to that, I grew up in Connecticut. And coming to GW, you know, it really was a transformative experience for me. And, you know, it just seemed like a good opportunity to sort of step away with GW in the place that we're in. We have an incredible president. And for those of you who haven't met Tom LeBlanc, he is just an incredible visionary leader. And I have just, you know, been in awe. And when I think about what he's going to do for this place, you know, the student experience has been so close to my heart, and he speaks that language every day. He talks about the student experience. He talks about dining and housing and academic advising and affordability and residence halls and building community. And you know, it was exciting for me because those are the things that I've been so committed to thinking about and throughout my whole career. And so the more I thought about it, I was like, you know what? This is a good time. We're at a good place. And maybe there's good work that I can do other places, too, to make an impact. So I'm thinking about a lot of things on my horizon, but you know, I'm excited for the future at GW.
Is there anything you want to share, like what you're thinking about for the future?
Let's say this. Let's come back. I'll come back in the spring with, you know, I'm sure there'll be news to share.
Oh, okay, awesome.
But, you know, and I have to say, being back on WRGW, I was never a DJ, but I've always been a fan. I listen often to the broadcast, especially for, you know, as we think about the basketball program. But early in my tenure, it was actually before Twitter.
The pre-Twitter days?
The pre-Twitter days.
Whoa.
We used to do a show pretty regularly, Ask the Administrator. And I would do that with a number of the students who were on air, and we would bring administrators in to talk about different issues. So this actually is great. I was so glad when you reached out, because this was like 6 or 7 years ago. We would do these series where we would just bring in administrators to talk, and I would sort of be the moderator with the it was sort of the host of the show. But this is, I'm really glad to be on with you all tonight.
Thank you. You just mentioned Twitter, and we had a few questions. So, like, you, many students know you as at GW Peter K. So much so that, like, your presence on Twitter has become, like, an important part of the GW campus, like, life. When did you start using Twitter, and, like, what about it sort of made you think that this was the way to interact with students?
So I'll credit two people. One is Nikki Samponia. I'm going to give him a shout out, who's a social media guy, who's a GW alum, and he works for WWF, so you can follow the wrestling dynasty. Nikki was my grad assistant probably about 6 or 7 years ago, and my assistant Jay Jones, and I came back from a conference, and a lot of the student affairs deans were talking about this thing called Twitter, and I was like, what are they talking about? And I said to Nikki, I'm like, what are they talking about? And he showed me, and we had a couple conversations, and I was like, all right, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do this, and I'm going to sign on April 1st. Because if it's a total bust, I'm going to just play it off like it was a joke. And I, like, sent out my first tweet was something about being frustrated about seeing people in the Health and Wellness Center, because that's where I work out, in, like, Penn and Georgetown and American stuff. And all these people tweeted about that. Like, you're right. They should be wearing buff and blue. And I was like, I don't even know who these people are. And they're, like, writing back to me. And then I realized, and that's what happened. I saw the power of social media. In fact, one guy tweeted it, and then, like, a bunch of people retweeted it. And I was like, what just happened? And I, like, went back and said to Nikki, like, what just – did I break something? Because I didn't know what it was. I didn't know the power of it. And really what it – illustrated for me in that one moment was like, this was a way to connect where students were. I always thought students were in the Marvin Center. You know, they were on the Mount Vernon campus. They rode the Vex. They were in the library. They were in the residence halls. But they were also living a digital life. And I, like, it hit me that I'm like, oh my God, if we're not here, then we're missing a huge portion of where students are. So that's sort of where it, that's sort of where it started.
Right.
So. Mm-hmm. Well, and kind of going off of that, one of, in your tweets about GW, one of the things that we often saw last year was hashtag most politically active campus. So now we're the 10th most politically active. Why do you think that is?
You know, I think ratings are something that are a little they're a little elliptical. You can never really predict.
Yeah.
We are the George Washington University in the nation's capital. So you can't take that away from us. We are still probably the most politically active campus. I don't really know what the ratings are based on. But at the end of the day, Rick Santorum was here last night, and the prime minister or the deputy prime minister was here a month ago from China. This is where change happens. And I'm looking around the room right now, and there are five student leaders who are all change agents. And this is where it's happening, because this is where, you know, policy decisions are shaped and, you know, major legislation happens. And I'm with a colleague tonight from an alumni colleague who's back at the university, who spent time at ABC and on the Hill and, you know, working for the administration, several administrations. And, you know, that's what GW students come for. That's what actually makes me so passionate about working here. And it actually, believe it or not, makes me passionate about what my future holds, because I want to continue to do that too. I want to make a difference. And I am with students tonight, like you guys, that you're all making a difference. And whether we're political or we're active or we're committed to a social justice cause or we're involved in service, and when I say we, I'm really talking about you. Really, it's our students, it's our alumni, it's our faculty and staff. That community is making an incredible difference. And whether we're the 10th most politically active or the first most politically active, you and especially your generation of students inspire us as administrators and faculty, because you're making a difference, and that's what's really exciting. So,
do you think we'll ever regain the title?
We'll get it back.
We'll get it back?
I'm very confident that we will get it back. And I will actually tell you one anecdote about that. We lost it a couple of years ago. The title dropped, I think, maybe to even American University, our good friends across town. And a bunch of students actually came to the administrators and said, this is what we're going to do to get it back. And they had a couple of very specific things. I don't even remember exactly what they were. But they were like, we want to do this. We want to host this debate. We want to, and we were like, that's great. How can we help? And students came to the administration and said, like, this is a really important thing. We want to be known as, like, a place where change happens. And I think it's less so about the rankings. It's really about, like, you guys have that spirit of entrepreneurship and creativity and a passion for making a difference. And that's really what my guess is behind it. You know, when people look at that, they're like, what type of students are at GW? And you know, we have active students who want to make the world a different place.
So back to the theme of hashtags, you've really taken hashtag only at GW and made it your own. So in your 25 plus years here, what has been your favorite hashtag only at GW moment?
Oh my God, that's a tough one. Every day there's something. I mean, literally, I think there's always something happening at GW that makes GW, the GW student experience, so amazing and so unique. So for me, it's hard to actually put a specific moment. And I can give you a couple of examples. Like when we go out at Freshman Day of Service, and we are the biggest day of collegiate service in the country, it like breaks, like in sort of what breaks my heart. Like we're doing amazing stuff. It's just a small sliver of the impact we make over the 600,000 hours of service. But to think on that one day, our students go out to every ward in the city and they do something that makes a difference and they leave something tangible behind. That's a one example. You know, I've been to seven presidential inaugurals, and sometimes it's going to attend. It's always going to the inaugural ball. Sometimes it's going to the parade. One year we had students in the parade. That happened, I think, Obama's first inaugural.
It's wow. Do you know what the students were doing? Like,
they were on a float. There was a GW float in the inaugural parade. Ask Tim Miller. Call Tim Miller and have him come on one night and talk to you about that. That's a throwback for a couple of years. But those students said GW hasn't been in the parade since 1952. I think it was, like, from the Truman administration. And students said to us, like, can we do a float? And the administration was like, do you want to do a float? We don't know anything about floats. And literally, they, like, got engineers together and they built this float. And they built a float that drove in the inaugural parade and they marched with the float. And, it was incredible. And it was just an opportunity where, like, that would never have happened if students didn't say, like, we want to do this. We want to be represented. I know you're having a band from Texas, but we want to be GW students marching in the inaugural parade. And we're like, okay, how can we help? So I think I've seen so many incredible moments like that. I could go on and on and on and on. So,
wow. So as you were saying, you hold 3 degrees from the school. Is there any only at GW moment from when you were a student? That's such so memorable.
Okay, that's a good one. I actually can tell you. So my first class in my doctorate was a little bit of an only at GW moment because at the time the school was being run by a former congressman or governor, I think. His name was Peter Smith from the state of Vermont. My advisor from my master's program said to me, well, you finished a master's program and you're working at GW. And actually the best benefit we get is we get tuition benefits. So it allows us to take courses as long as you get admitted to the program. So I said to her, well, what course should I take? I know I just finished a master's. She's like, well, I'm teaching this educational policy class. And the dean at the time and I are teaching it. She was a former college president. Her name was Brunetta Wolfman. This guy, Peter Smith, who was a former congressman or governor, I can't remember now. So my first day I walk in and this, you know, we're all doing our introductions and I introduce myself and the next person introduces myself and the next person introduces himself and he introduces himself and he says he's a congressman from Kentucky. And I was like, oh my God. And I, like, looked at my – there's a congressman from Kentucky in my class. And he wanted to come to GW because he got appointed to the Educational Policy Committee. You know, so he was serving in the Congress. But he wanted to make sure that he understood educational policy from the philosophy. So I'm like, okay, this is going to be a good class. So that was, like, a pretty only at GW moment because, like, the professor was a political person. The academic, the
and
faculty
also
member.
Students. Like,
and
he, yeah.
And the other guy in the class was a congressman. And I was like, this doesn't happen except at GW. So that was like 24 years ago. So that was 25 years ago. That was a long time ago.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
That sounds amazing. I would love to have a congressman in my poli sci class, being able to sit next to one.
Well, have you taken Rand Paul's class?
I haven't taken
a senator teaching at GW, right?
That's an English class. That's actually an English class, though. It's on dystopian novels, but I'm sure, you know, like the political conversation you have in that class must be amazing.
Right. So.
All righty. Well, so I guess my next question is that there's been a lot of controversy and a lot of talk about the recent inauguration of President Thomas LeBlanc, specifically the price tag that was associated with it, or that's been reported, $500,000 for all the festivities. We haven't been able to hear back from any university officials about the inauguration, specifically regarding the price tag. Do you have any comment on that?
You know, I don't actually know any. I was on the inaugural committee, so I'm not, you know, I'm not sidestepping the question. Mm-hmm. I actually don't know anything about the price tag, but I will say this. Sometimes you need to spend a little money to make sure that you do the right things. And the one thing I will say is I went to 3 or 4 of the inaugural events. There were like 4 or 5 events. Mm-hmm. You know, we had lunch for 1,000 people or something like that at Mount Vernon, or breakfast, brunch. That's the right term. Brunch at Mount Vernon. You know, so when you're feeding people and you're hosting and welcoming people, and we had dignitaries from around the country coming and visiting, you know, I think we want to make sure people feel welcome. You know, the SEH event had thousands of people coming because we want to celebrate. I think that's also an important thing to remember. We're not just celebrating Tom LeBlanc, which we do need to do. We're actually celebrating George Washington University, and we're sort of celebrating not just where we are, but where we're going. And I served under a couple of presidents. I've served under President Trachtenberg and President Knapp and now President LeBlanc. And I will tell you, you know, part of the role of an institution, we're going to be here 200 years in 3 years. You know, it's an important thing for us to celebrate our kind of lineage and heritage and past. And it's also important for us to think about the future. And sometimes that does – we've got to spend a little money to do that. And I think it's important that we celebrate as a community. And that's one of the other hashtags I use a lot is raise high. We've got to raise high together. And we've got to, like, bring people together sometimes. It's hard in an urban institution not to have that community. And we really have to do that sometimes in an inauguration. And if you went, you were probably like me. You were inspired by hearing what he said because his vision for GW is an inclusive, diverse, welcoming place that everyone feels a part of, and we only will continue, our trajectory will only continue to rise. Mm-hmm. And we do need to celebrate that, that it's an important moment in the history. We've actually only had, I think, 17 inaugurations in our 200 years. So the arrival of a new leader is an important moment in an institution like ours.
Mm-hmm. Right. And going back to the big story of the week is when you're stepping down, moving on to other endeavors, you're taking on the role as a special advisor to our president, LeBlanc. Could you describe, like, what does that exactly mean? Like, what will you be doing as a special advisor?
Yeah, this is a perfect opportunity. In half an hour, actually 40 minutes, we're going to have our second listening session with students. We're actually doing a listening session tonight with freshmen. We did a listening session on Tuesday night with the Student Association Cabinet, the Executive Branch, and the Senate. We've got a bunch planned for the spring. I'll put this out as a commercial. If there's a group that wants to talk to us, we want to come talk to you. And it's a good example. I think there'll be a bunch of projects that I'll be asked to work on that are like that, that'll be helping us kind of gather input and information. I was really honored when I talked to the provost and talked to the president about sort of what I was thinking. First of all, I wanted to make sure it's a smooth transition for student affairs and for the students on this campus. You're obviously my number one priority. You're the reason I get up in the morning, and you're the reason I tweet at night. So I wanted to make sure. Exactly. I want to make sure that, you know, there's a smooth transition, but also the president and provost really wanted to make sure, how do they, you know, kind of tap into my experience and my knowledge. And I wanted to be able to share that and also help facilitate what we think is going to be a great transition, but also what we think is going to be great for the university. So the Board of Trustees and Peak and Sydney and some faculty are working on the Student Life Task Force, Student Experience Task Force, and really I'm just going to help support that. I'm going to make sure that it's as smooth and successful as possible so that whenever we have new and good ideas, some of which are going to start, you'll start seeing immediately. You'll start seeing these things in the spring. These are the result of Tom LeBlanc. These are the result of, you know, a visionary leader who's coming here to really try to change this place. And not that it's bad. We're a great institution, but we're just going to keep getting better. And that's the thing that when you think about what makes you proud, I'm proud because my 3 degrees have gotten more and more and more valuable. And I think I'm fortunate because that's only going to continue with a president who has a clear vision for where we're headed as an institution.
Okay, great. You mentioned briefly in like talking about interacting with students, you brought up the Student Association. So last year, the SA underwent immense controversy when stalking allegations were filed amongst the presidential candidates, causing the election to be delayed. What plans does the SA have to ensure that the election will have a fair campaign process for next semester?
You know, I actually haven't seen the current revision to the JC charter, but I know the SA and Peak and Sydney, and there's been a group of students as well as administrators like Tim Miller and Graham who are working kind of behind the scenes to sort of think about how to make a fair election process. You know, elections are a big deal, as we've seen, and elections are complicated to run because we want to make them fair and we want to make everybody have an opportunity to, you know, have their voice heard. And I think, you know, with the JEC and really the SA, but it's really those organizations, the SA, Program Board, Class Councils, I think they want to do the best job they can in providing, a fair environment for everybody to be successful. And I think in the administration, we want to support that. We want to, you know, do whatever we can. We have a lot of alumni support around that. We have a lot of administrators, faculty, staff who've offered their time, people who really want to be able to help. You know, how can we help make GW, going back to the question earlier about, you know, not just the most politically active, but most ethical and civil and respectful. Those are GW core values. You know, we want to respect people. We want to treat people right. And I think, you know, what we saw last spring, it really wasn't very healthy. And, mm-hmm. you know, from the administration perspective, we were like, look, this is just not really going well. This isn't what we embody at GW. I think we ended up with some incredible leaders who emerged, and you know, I'm really happy with, you know, Peak and Sydney and the work they're doing, and they're helping. That was the first thing Provost Maltzman and I sat down with them, I think the day after, and said to them, look, we've got to work on this. We've got to fix this. In fact, we really started immediately, and so work was done over the summer. You know, they transitioned May 1st, work was done over the summer. There's been a lot of work already done in the fall, and I think we'll be in a good place in the spring. And I really credit my colleagues, Tim Miller and Ann Graham, are the two administrators who really are working tirelessly to support them, because obviously that's our job as administrators. We're supposed to support students, and they really serve as the advisors to the SA and some of the, you know, the major student organizations like Program Board and Class Council.
And before we wrap up, oh, Carrie, go ahead. Sorry.
Just like touching on improving GW overall, what is GW doing to improve diversity in the campus community, and what are your hopes in that area?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, diversity and inclusion are core values at GW, and I think we've done a lot, and, you know, I credit President Knapp for that. I credit President Trachtenberg for that. You know, we've had great leadership in this area. We've done some pretty important things in the last few years. I'll just give you a couple of examples. You know, going test optional allowed us to think differently about, you know, making GW as an institution more accessible. The fundraising we've done with the campaign really was around making school more affordable. You know, so the Power and Promise scholarships, maybe some of you are on, or the alumni scholarships, that's as a direct result of alumni and families saying, I want to make GW as affordable as possible. Carolyn Laguerre Brown, if you haven't met her, is probably one of the most dynamic administrators on this campus. She's our Vice Provost for Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, Community Engagement. She's an incredible leader, and she and the provost are working with every single school dean as we speak on diversity plans. So every school will have a diversity plan. Every department will sort of think about how do we have the most robust and diverse both faculty and student community, and also ability to address issues that are important around the globe. So I think that's a really important place for an institution like GW is, you know, we're a global institution, and you heard the president talk about that. We've got to be welcoming and accepting, and we've got to do our part to make sure everybody feels welcome. And, you know, that includes, you know, everybody who is part of this community, everybody who even thinks about being part of this community.
Actually, touching on that point, when applying to colleges, I saw that GW was test optional. That made GW, like, higher on my list, so I'm glad I'm here.
And the rationale behind that is because the best predictor of college success is your high school grades, mm-hmm. is doing well in high school. People don't always do well in standardized tests, but when we look at your high school grades and we see your ability and your trajectory, that's really the reason we know you'll probably be successful here. So, and then what we want to do is just, even though you're here, we want to make sure you have the resources and support. So STEMWorks and the Writing Center, and, you know, I say this a lot, one of my favorite hashtags, especially this time of year, is love a librarian. Like, if you don't know our librarians, you're actually doing GW wrong. You need to know your faculty. You need to know the librarians. You need to get into Gelman Library. One of the best pieces of advice I ever got as a student was from the former honors program director here, David Greer, who said, go to the library every day. Even just to be in the library makes you more of a scholar. So I'll leave you with that message. Lou, go to the library every day.
Great. All right. Good advice.
So, to wrap up, we're going to have Dana do a quick rundown, a rapid fire question. It's fun, but we're really excited.
Time.
We work
it's
on this
fun.
Right before.
Okay, rapid fire.
I promise.
Okay, rapid fire.
Okay. Too bad we didn't have any, like,
good music
going in the background.
WRGW is known for its music, right?
Okay. Chipotle or Soul?
I had Soul for lunch.
Netflix or HBO Go?
Neither. I'm a cable news watcher.
Oh, I knew it. Starbucks or Pete's?
That's a no-brainer. Pete's?
Trader Joe's or Whole Foods?
Let's see. I think, let me put it to you this way. I get my dog treats at Trader Joe's, so that's where we go more than anywhere else. We've got two Portuguese water dogs, and they go through a lot of treats.
Foggy or the Vern?
Can't say that, but my heart is on Foggy.
Chopped or Sweet Green?
All right, I'm going to go off script. I go to Devin and Blakely. I like the guy who's the manager there. He's a good guy. You guys should get to know him.
That's a good plot twist. I accept. Uber or Lyft?
Uber.
Buff or Blue?
Blue.
Fall Fest or Spring Fling?
Ooh, that's a good one. Having advised program board, I would say both.
Okay. Colonial George or the Hippo?
The Hippo.
Ooh, different.
Rub the Hippo for some good luck.
Okay. Favorite emoji, since you're so on point with Twitter?
Well, I would normally say the buff and blue hearts, but I'm going to go with the winking emoji.
Okay. That's right. It.
That's it.
That's it. All right.
Kinworski, thank you so much.
All right,
for
it was an honor
time.
To be with
Appreciate
you.
It.
Thanks for having me.
Have a good
thank
one.
You.
And,
raise high.
Thank you all for listening to WRGW News. This has been GW at 6. You can catch us every weeknight at 6 p.m. And we're also on Apple Podcasts, so check that out. Have a good night and enjoy your weekend, folks.